Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb. Elke week saam tussen 6 en 7.
Safair is die grootste plaaslike ligdiens in Suid-Afrika en geniet 'n markandeel van meer as 60%. Die ligdiens is egter ietwat in die moeilikheid want die plaaslike en internasionale lugvaart reguleringsraad het verlede jaar beslis dat sy aandeelhoudingsstruktuur regulasies oortree. Die regulasie is dat buitelandse aandeelhouers net 25% van 'n Suid-Afrikaanse ligdiens mag besit. Die raad het nou bevind dat die buitelandse aandeelhouding van FlySafair sowat 75% beloop. Nou die plaaslike lisensieringsraad het verlede week 'n brief aan FlySafair geskryf om sy beslissing te verduidelik en daarin sê die owerheid dat die aandele in 'n lugdiens deur natuurlike persone besit moet word en nie deur regsentiteite soos maatskappye en trusts nie. FlySafair het sterk hierop gereageer en gesê hierdie interpretasie van die regulasies bring mee dat omtrent elke enkele lugdiens in die land nie daaraan voldoen nie, selfs nie eens die Suid-Afrikaanse lugdiens nie. Kirby Gordon is op die lyn, hy is Safair se woordvoerder. Kirby, thank you so much for your time. Before we ventilate the local licensing council's view on who may or may not own shares in an airline, let's look at the reasons why you are in this position in the first place. Both the local and international councils have found that you are in breach of the ownership regulations. You are following legal processes to prevent the grounding of the airline. What are the status of these various legal processes?
Yes, absolutely. So these two issues are actually stemming both from complaints that were levied by competitors. In the first instance with the International Council, it was Air Link Airlines along with Lyft, and on the domestic front, just with Lyft. And what it is it has to do with what's called these nationality provisions within the two various acts, which limit the degree to which foreign entities can have control over airlines. Now, it's specifically actually around the idea of control, with the regulation speaking to the notion of voting rights rather than ownership, which are not necessarily the same things. And these two councils, through their various processes, have decided that we are non-compliant with regard to the provisions of these acts. But this latest move by the domestic council, which is the first time that we've had any reasoning behind these findings of non-compliance, has shifted the conversation away slightly from this idea of foreign versus local to this idea of a natural person versus a trust or a company. And that's where the change is really coming to the fore here.
But how complicated is your ownership and voting structure? Surely it cannot be so complicated that there are different interpretations of who owns the airline.
No, it's not actually that complicated. I think one of the issues that stands to reason is that there's a bit of ambiguity in this law. These nationality provisions are known to be quite ambiguous. This is actually the third, or if not the fourth, time that airlines are ending up in court seeking clarity around these nationality provisions. We've actually launched what is called a declarator, or an application for a declarator, just previous to this, which is where we approach the courts and say, please can you help us to interpret these regulations outside of the remit of a specific case, to provide clarity to these councils and to the airlines as to how we might comply. This is actually something that's been supported by the Minister of Transport, but unfortunately opposed by these councils and by our competitors, but would offer very necessary clarity to be able to understand how best to apply the regulation.
But according to your interpretation and the structure the company drew up, the airline adheres to the 25% rule that foreigners may only own 25% of a South African airline.
Yes, so the issue in question has to do with about half of the airline, which is held within a trust. A trust, by its very structure, breaks up the massive entities of ownership. So, you know, no one can actually own a trust. A trust is divided by virtue of the control over the asset which is inside of it, which is obviously necessarily mandated by the trustees who vote along the trust deed. And then you'll have the beneficiaries who, in legal terms, enjoy the fruits of the asset or the enjoyment of it. Therefore, the two assets of actual ownership are split between those, and half of life FlySafair is actually owned within a trust. The trustees who control, which speaks back to the idea of the voting rights, are South African citizens. So therefore, the mandate of the control is met. But this new interpretation by the domestic council, as I say, changes the remit of the conversation entirely, because it's not really around the idea of whether the trustees are local or foreign or where the control sits. Their concern now is more to do as to whether or not this is actually a natural person, a warm-bodied human being, as opposed to a trust or a business.
I saw your press release regarding this, and I must say I think every single accountant would frown at this conclusion. that an airline cannot be owned by a legal entity such as a trust or a company. What is your reaction to it? Because I think virtually every single significant business in the world is owned by either a trust or especially a company.
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of capital that's required to fund and run and establish an airline is far beyond the remit of most individuals out there. And so they are, of course, globally very much held by trusts and companies and other vehicles. It's quite unrealistic, actually, to expect that, you know, a single individual would be able to own and would want to and choose to own an entity of this size in their own personal capacity. So it does seem to be a rather peculiar interpretation of the Act, and one that has very far-reaching consequences, because for the most part, as you said earlier, there aren't really any examples in South Africa, with the exception of Lyft, the complainant in this case, where the airline is owned by an individual.
Now, even the SAA falls into that category, because the SAA is owned by the government and it's a company.
Absolutely, 100%. It's a state-owned enterprise.
What are the next steps?
Well, at this stage, we're waiting. So the concluding meetings have happened now with the domestic council. So we await further correspondence from them, which is expected in the next few days once their deliberations are concluded. And we're anticipating that those deliberations will then include what their sanctions may or may not be insofar as their findings are concerned. And from there, we'll need to decide what the next prudent steps are. Obviously, this particular interpretation that has been offered now is one that is very much open to challenge. But we'll need to see what they conclude and take it from there.
Kirby, dankie vir jou tyd. Dit was Kirby Gordon. Hy is Fly Safair se woordvoerder.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoe elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Money Web Potgoe, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Money Web News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.